Ho ho ho, happy holidays everyone! Welcome back to Dropping Dimes. This is the Weekly Dime, the show where we round up the most recent happenings in the world of basketball. I'm your host Rodrigo, but you can call me Santa Rod, and I'm joined by my trusted co-hosts, the Sin Master, Evans the Snowman. How are you doing, man?
Good, man. It's a very nice day out. Had a nice bike ride here, but I'm excited for my first holiday edition of this episode.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And we're also joined by the man whose heart grew three times today. He's not stink, stank, stunk, though. Raphael, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to be back. Happy. We had a great weekend. We watched Star Wars yesterday.
Oh, so my God. It was amazing. Nice. Have you watched it, Evans?
I have not.
Oh, damn.
We're going to talk about it today, and we're going to mention a lot of spoilers. So,
all right.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All right. No, but it was amazing, really. If anyone out there hasn't watched it, go watch it. If you're a Star Wars geek, you're going to like it. I hope. A lot of people were complaining about it, but let's get to basketball, shall we? Mm-hmm. Before we start, do you know the reference that I used for you this time around?
No.
I was going to ask about that.
No?
No, no idea.
Neither one of you?
No. I thought Raph would. Since
maybe
was...
our listeners are smarter than us and they will know what you're talking
about.
That's
granted. They are smarter than we are.
That's true.
It's from The Grinch. When he gives all the presents back, his heart grows three times in a day.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, he's described as stink, stank, stunk.
Oh.
Nice. But I said you're not those things.
Okay.
So, a little Dr. Seuss trivia for you, in case you ever need it. All right. We have a good show today. We have tons to celebrate. And before we get a little bit happy on eggnog, there's a few things we need to talk about. Let's start off with Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Chris Bosh, who are now leading the 2020 class of first-time nominees for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. This was just announced this week, and these guys are eligible to be selected for the first time around. There are other superstars that are also very well-known and are also eligible for the Hall of Fame, and that's Sean Marion, Michael Finley, and WNBA stars Tamika Catchings and Sween Cash, who are included and are eligible to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Guys, what do you think? Who do you think is going to get selected? And do you think all of them get selected?
I think that most of them will. I don't think Sean Marion should. I'm not sure how I feel about Sean Marion.
Not a first round?
I was a bit surprised to see his name on the list as well. As well as Michael Finley.
Michael Finley, yeah. I mean, he had a very good career. And he was, I think when I started watching basketball, when he was playing for the Mavs, he was considered the superstar of that team, right?
For a bit.
Of the Mavs.
Yeah, he was.
Well, this is just it means that they're eligible for to be inducted, right? Mm-hmm. And this is like their first time around. So there are players like... I was going to say Chris Bosh, but Weber, Chris Weber, that haven't been selected, but they're eligible. So I'm not entirely sure how the eligibility process works at the Basketball Hall of Fame. Mm. And this is the NBA Hall of Fame almost.
Right.
Because there's a FIBA Hall of Fame. There's a Basketball Hall of Fame, which is entirely different.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is just like the one in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But I think we're safe to say that Kobe, Tim Duncan are a lock. Those two are a lock.
I feel like Garnett would be a lock too.
You think
so? KG. Yeah. So you said that Chris Webber, he's eligible, but he's not yet. He has not been selected yet. Correct.
Yeah.
So why do they sometimes they start making other players eligible before making sure that they're taking care of the guys that are eligible but have not been selected?
It's a complicated process because, you know, there's a moratorium period, you know, between the moment where you retire and to be eligible for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sure there's a committee where they, and we should have done a lot more research about this, but I'm sure there's a committee where they say like, hey, this guy is worthy of even being considered, right?
Because, I mean, it would be crazy, for example, if Michael Finley becomes eligible this year and he gets selected next year and Chris Webber is still not part of the Hall of Fame, that would make no sense at all.
But at the same time, you know, Michael Finley had a longer career. He's more of a veteran. So it depends how you want to see it, right?
Hmm.
And do you take care of the superstars first, or do you give way to the guys that have been waiting? Mm-hmm. Like I said, Kobe and Duncan, I mean, they just retired, what, 3 years ago? Yeah, Kobe and TD retired in 2016. So it's been 3 years.
Which doesn't really matter, though, right? If it comes down to it, you're really just looking at their accomplishments and what they've done for their teams and the league, in my opinion. Is that correct? Do they actually look at when they were retired, or how many times or how many years you would have had to have been retired before you get nominated? Yeah, I guess I'm not too sure about
that. As long as you have completed that, again, that moratorium period,
right,
you're eligible.
That's it. Okay.
So it doesn't matter, you know, if you've been retired for 20 years,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's someone else that has had a better career than you and right. just became eligible. I guess that person would take priority over right. over you.
But I guess that also the criteria is not really clear, because I think sometimes you see players that had a very long career, but they were like not mediocre, but they had a long career, but they didn't have that many memorable moments, but they get selected because of their contribution mm-hmm. to the game, right? And then you have some players that they had 3 or 4 very good seasons, memorable seasons, and they get selected, but their career, in the total of their career, was not that relevant. Right. So I don't know what's the criteria, really.
So there is a criteria. I'm just looking at it. There's guidelines for nomination and election into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. The nomination process, procured by blah, 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 shall be submitted by the president and the CEO of the Basketball Hall of Fame. And nominees, blah, blah, blah. They have to complete forms. This is very complicated. So for a player, their eligibility, and I quote, a player must be fully retired for 4 full seasons before being eligible for enshrinement. He or she may then be considered the enshrinement for enshrinement in the 5th year of retirement. Should a player come out of retirement for a short period of time, as defined by the Basketball Hall of Fame, his or her case and eligibility for enshrinement shall be reviewed on an individual basis. Mm. So there's nothing really on, like, you know, you must have contributed exactly. So, or you must have scored so many points.
So there is a criteria, but they leave it very open and, for their opinion.
And there's a screening committee. So apparently there's 2 screening committees, North American and Women's. These committees review and select individual nominees to be reviewed and voted upon enshrinement by the Honors Committee. So it's a process, right? And you have to get also a number of votes. So it apparently you have to get 7 out of 9 votes to get in. Mm. Wow. It says here, if a nominee receives 0 affirmative votes for 3 consecutive years, that nominee's candidacy is suspended for 5 years.
Oh, he's removed from the eligible list.
For 5 years, after which time he or she may again be reviewed by the appropriate... Oh, I can't speak today. I've had too much eggnog already. By the appropriate screening committee.
Okay.
So if you don't make it your first 3 times, or the 3 times that you've been selected,
that's it.
Then, I mean, it gets more complicated, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it sounds like Sean Marion and Michael Finley won't get anytime soon probably. Into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
So you said that if you don't get selected the first 3 years that you're eligible, it becomes more complicated.
Well, because then you have to wait for 5 years to become eligible again.
So I wonder...
And then mm-hmm. they also have to vote again. And by that time, more people are going to retire. Yeah. And there are superstars all the time that retire, right?
So I wonder for how many years Chris Webber has been eligible. Because it would be a shame if he...
You should bring your laptop next time and help us out.
It would really be a shame if he doesn't make it to the Hall of Fame.
Would it?
Would it be a shame? I think so.
Yeah, he had a pretty impactful career.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, he was a superstar. But, I mean, when we say, like, oh, he's locked for the Basketball Hall of Fame... Have you guys read Bill Simmons' Book of Basketball?
No.
Okay. Shout out to Bill Simmons, because he comes up with a new system for the Hall of Fame, where it's a pyramid. It's not just, you know, like everyone's a player and everyone gets
like OmniLife.
Like OmniLife?
Yeah, like Herbalife, OmniLife, and all of this.
Oh, like a pyramid scheme.
Yes.
No, not a pyramid scheme, a pyramid structure. So there are tiers for him. There's, you know... tier, I think there are 4 tiers for him, or 6, I can remember. And, you know, number, the lowest tier is, you know, you contributed significantly to the game. You were arguably a superstar. You know, you had You went to many All-Star games, maybe second, third team All-NBA, but didn't win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, very similar, but you won championships. Next year, you were absolutely amazing. You were transcendent. And it goes all the way up till the Olympus, almost, like,
yeah.
Players like Michael Jordan, like LeBron James. Like, I think he had Kobe on his Olympus.
But I do feel like
Oscar Robertson.
We can come with like 1,000 different structures and selection processes. But when you start throwing names, there's going to be disagreements because the structure works when you write it down. But as soon as you start discussing different players, there's going to be a lot of debate, a lot of controversy.
I think there's going to be, yeah, there's debate, but from everything that I've ever read, and you guys know that I've read a few basketball books, Bill Simmons's structure for the Hall of Fame and like being like tiered or leveled makes the most sense because then everyone can almost agree on that. Like, you're a Hall of Famer, but there's a degree of where you belong.
So, for example, you mentioned that you're not sure about Chris Webber. For me, Chris Webber should be a Hall of Famer, and he should be selected as a Hall of Famer before, for example, someone like Derek Fisher that I not even think that should be in the Hall of Fame.
Derek Fisher is not even, like, I don't think his name has ever been thrown out
there.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's someone that managed to get a lot of rings. He was a leader for the players because, if I'm not mistaken, he's part of the...
He was the vice president of the Players Union.
So, I mean, he contributed a lot to the game. That there's no question. But I think, like, for example, someone like Chris Webber, even though he never managed to get a ring, he was a player that was more relevant, important, and also helped make the game popular overseas.
I agree. I mean, again, I'm not saying that... what I'm trying to say is that under the current system and how the Hall of Fame is established, I don't know if Chris Webber makes a cut. I just don't know. I mean, he had very little playoff success. Was he a star? Yes. Was he a superstar? I don't know.
So did Tracy McGrady have playoff success at all?
Is Tracy McGrady in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
But that's... I don't know.
So,
Tracy was a way better scorer. Like, I think Tracy had a better career than Chris Webber.
So was Tracy selected because of how good of an individual player he was and how mediatic he was and how much he helped the NBA conquer other markets?
Tracy was media friendly.
Well, because of the way he played, I think he helped the league open a lot of new markets that were not really that big for the NBA before.
I don't know.
And Chris Webber is a big man. It's tough. Like, Shaq is an exception, right? He's very mediatic and superstar. But most big men don't have the same kind of personality and don't sell shoes like other players.
I agree, and I think he was great. But in the current structure, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. If we had, levels 5 through 1 of the Hall of Fame, yes, I would put him in maybe 5 or 4. And that would make a lot more sense in my head. Because he was known, he was a superstar or a star. He made all NBA teams. He made all-star teams. He had some accolades. He had college success. I don't think he had success or he was part of any U.S. team. So he didn't win anything internationally. And now that he's in the media, he sort of keeps contributing to the game. So I would put him in the lowest level.
Mm-hmm.
But I would grant him a pass to get into the pyramid, for sure. I don't know if I would let him go into the VIP room of the pyramid, though.
Okay.
What do you think, Evs?
This is the pyramid you're talking about, like basketball 2.0, Bill Simmons?
Sort of.
I heard something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So on his podcast, he talks about like how he would maybe knock some guys down a couple more levels, or how he would push a few guys now a few levels up.
I think I heard one, yeah, similar. I think it was actually about Dirk Nowitzki and where he sits on that Hall of Fame period. Okay. Pyramid. Sorry, not period. The finalists of the first time nominees is announced in February.
Yeah, during the All-Star game, they're going to announce the finalists. So I don't. Let's talk about the four main guys. Kobe, Tim Duncan, Garnett, and Chris Bosh. Are the four of them
locked? They're locked. Yeah.
I'm not sure about Chris Bosh. I'm sure about the other three, but Chris Bosh, I'm not sure if he's locked already.
Again, Kobe and Tim locked, sure. Right? Yeah. Like we're buying that. We're buying stocks of that. Kevin Garnett and Chris Bosh, like I would buy Kevin Garnett stocks into the Hall of Fame, yeah. Chris Bosh,
he's up there, but I mean, he might have to wait, I feel like.
I feel like if he doesn't get in now, he's not going to get in.
Really?
Because then, you know, your next batch might be, well, he might get a chance next year and the year after that. But then your next batch are Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, right?
Right.
And those guys are all locks, yeah. Probably. So I guess it's also, if you're super, super smart and super cunning, you might even want to time your retirement so that you're not in a very strong class. So, you know, in 5 years ahead, when I retire, who might also retire with me? I mean, Chris Bosh.
That's a lot to consider.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, if you're Chris Bosh and you're in the same class as Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan, you go like, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe, for example, the past five seasons of Dirk Nowitzki, he was probably working against his Hall of Fame odds.
I don't think so.
Stats-wise, but I'm sure he was.
No, but I think he's a lock.
It shouldn't affect, right?
It's a lock. Dirk is going to be a lock.
Yeah.
I think any of the guys who've played their entire careers on the one team also helps the cause, too, because it just speaks to, you know, their commitment and everything.
Yeah, and someone like Tim Duncan, he had everything. He played for the same team his whole career. He was lucky enough to, you know, be with a coach that was great and was also committed to that franchise long term. And they achieved a lot of playoff success and rings and so on. Totally. But his game, and this might be this might start another debate here, but his game was not even...
It's like having Christmas with my family, you know, we're just discussing all the time.
His game was not as exciting, not even close to how exciting Chris Webber's game was, for example. Like, Tim Duncan, to a certain extent, his game is kind of boring, to be honest.
And that's what made him, right?
Yeah.
Big fundamentals.
Yeah, I mean, it was boring. Like, he would never have a wild dunk, I agree, but... There was something about his game that was so beautiful, right? Yeah. That little bank shot from 45 degrees, I mean, that was money.
And just the system he was in, playing for Pops and everyone moving, everyone gets to touch the ball, was a help for him too.
I'm pretty sure we can all appreciate that. But yeah, I think it was important to mention that.
But they don't go and say like, oh, yo, remember when Timmy D threw that nasty dunk? Yeah, he's like, let's get him in.
Right.
They're not gonna look at that, right?
No.
They're not gonna look at that one behind the back pass that a player had. They're gonna look at their entire career, and again, it's very subjective. It seems.
That's why hot sauce is not part of the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I don't think hot sauce will make
part
it.
Part of the N1 Hall of Fame.
For sure, that's for sure. He's in the pantheon of N1.
Top of the pyramid.
What about? Yeah, no, I don't think. Sean Marion and Michael Finley will make it, unfortunately.
It's a nice mention.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just to, for guys like this, just to have your name mentioned out there, that's already like, it means a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. We should, maybe not in 2020, but, or maybe in 2020, why not? We should go to the Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
We can catch a game in Boston, ew. But we should then drive to Springfield,
Massachusetts. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Are we officially looking for sponsors?
For the trip?
Yeah.
How about this? If there's any sort of car rental company that is looking to get their logo noticed, we'll drive there from Vancouver, British Columbia, all the way to Springfield, Massachusetts. We'll take time off work.
And we understand that it's a lot of risk to accept to have a Brazilian driver or Mexican driver.
Why would you say that? Why would you lead with that?
Evans will drive.
Why would you lead with that, though?
Evans will drive.
We have the worst stereotypes, man. Asian drivers? Come on.
I think we're... Sorry, we're fucked. There's no way around it.
We need to hire a driver. Yeah. Supply us with a driver, too.
Thank you for ruining our sponsorship package, guys. But
shout out to Enterprise.
We'll pick you up. Exactly. Hey... If you want to sponsor us, we'll pick you up.
I have an interesting story, but I think if I share, I think our chances of being sponsored by Enterprise are like gone forever.
Why do we keep? What has Enterprise done for you guys that you keep mentioning it? Good service?
It just has a good ring to it. They got a good tagline.
Okay. Okay. Save it. Save it. Okay. Oh, we have our end of the show story, I hope. Oh. Right from Evans.
Yeah, this week is Evans' story. Yeah. So.
Oh, I don't think we have any of that. Sorry, guys. Didn't prepare for it.
Anything else on the Hall of Fame, guys? You guys are on my Hall of Fame, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Oh, that's so nice of you. What's the criteria?
Oh, the bar is super low. It's just
okay.
Evans was a lock because he comes in every week.
Ah,
but I had to talk to the committee. I had to slip them a $100 bill, and you made it.
To some of the plants that you have at home.
Yeah,
that's the committee.
Yeah, but they agreed. They agreed. All right, let's move on to our next topic of the week. Kevin Garnett's comments about LeBron James. So Kevin Garnett is on his media tour of the new movie with Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems. Have you guys watched it?
No, I'm looking forward to
watching it. I'm not even sure what it is about or why Kevin Garnett is in a movie with Adam Sandler.
Apparently it's based on the 2012 playoff series that KG was in.
Also, shout out to Adam Sandler because he received the honors of Dime of the Week.
Oh, right.
For dropping dimes. That laser pass that he threw at a...
Zipped it.
Yeah, at a pickup game. He can ball, hey?
He can ball.
He's got a weird-looking shot, but he can ball.
New Yorkers.
But I don't remember. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he never played in the Celebrity All-Star Game, right?
He might have.
Like he might have.
I mean, I hope he did it.
Well, but if he did, then he was not... Like, he was not someone that we noticed. Like, he didn't have a good game.
I feel like he's a facilitator.
Okay.
It looks like that. Like, he was looking for the open man. But I don't know. But I saw a couple more clips of him playing when he was younger. Mm-hmm. He can shoot, and he went up and down the court. Adam Sandler can play. Mm. Shout out to Adam Sandler. All right. Back to Kevin Garnett.
Now he just needs to learn how to act.
Oh, man. No, that was cold. It's the holidays. Be merry.
But don't you feel that...
Try to be merry.
It seems like he's always playing the same character, regardless of which movie you're watching.
I wish I could do a good Adam Sandler impersonation. So I was like,
that was pretty good.
And then, what are you doing? He just yells out of nowhere. Okay. So Kevin Garnett, he said that he, quote, broke, unquote, LeBron James in the 2010 NBA playoffs. And because of that series was that LeBron ended up going to Miami. So here's a very short quote from Kevin Garnett. We broke LeBron. So get your butt out of here with that. You understand how he got to Cleveland, how he got to Miami? You remember that? So basically saying the Celtics forced LeBron out of Cleveland. And then he also said, and that's not in the article that I'm reading from Slam. Oh, shout out to Slam. Mm. Many, many shout outs today. He said in an interview that the four of us don't mess with him. And the four of us meant Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, and Kendrick Perkins. And that started, there was already a storm with everything that KG said about LeBron, but then they said like, oh, hold on. Kendrick and Rondo played or are playing with LeBron. And how do they feel about it? Because Kevin Garnett said, we don't mess with him. He used a stronger word. He said, we don't mess with him. We didn't fear him. We just don't mess with him. And then Kendrick Perkins and Rajon Rondo were asked about LeBron, and they both said wonderful things about LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of backfired a little bit on KG, because you guys remember that he sort of, him and Rajon Rondo kicked out Paul Pierce from that sort of Celtics group.
Ray Allen.
Yeah. And now that Rondo and Kendrick Perkins came out to say like, LeBron is a great person, he's a fantastic team player, fantastic teammate, that sort of backfired on KG. Like, then who's a jackass now?
Yeah, and again, just going back to the same issue with the Hall of Fame, you need a better criteria. If you're going to kick someone out of your group because they played with LeBron James, then why are you keeping Kendrick Perkins and Rajon Rondo as part of the group? Like, they should also get kicked out.
What I don't necessarily agree is that KG said that they broke LeBron. Yes, LeBron moved to Miami after that, but he makes it sound like he didn't have a super team of, like, KG was not in a super team of his own. He was with Paul Pierce. He was with Ray Allen. That's a big three.
I think that's what KG's saying. Like, LeBron needed some help, so that's why he felt like it was okay for him to go to Miami, or that he forced him to, because he was comparing it to his own team, I guess. Like, he didn't have a big three like he did, so.
But then you look at, you know, he broke LeBron, and or they broke LeBron, and, you know, the Celtics were, he's sort of making it sound like they were a force to be reckoned. And while they were a very good team, they only won one championship, 2008.
Right.
In their stint as a super team.
And I think it was a time where there was no clear superpower in the league. I mean, you had good teams, but I don't think those Celtics, there was something missing, and I'm not sure if it was like a commitment from some of the star players, or I don't know if the chemistry was not there. Maybe KG is too crazy, or Rajon Rondo is too crazy. I
think
don't know.
Paul Pierce had many KGs on him, and by KGs I mean kilos.
Oh yeah, that's also wow, look at you cracking jokes.
I know, fire the pun gun. I just don't buy this. I know Kevin Garnett, that's his character,
that's
right?
That's who he is. You don't expect anything less from, especially now that he's on a, like you said, media tour. He's gonna,
he's bringing attention to himself.
Yeah, he's bringing out good stories, and that's what Bill Simmons' job too is to get these stories and get these beefs sorted out too. Right?
So they got their ring in 2010, right?
The Celtics.
Yeah.
No, 2008.
2008. What about
2010? The Lakers beat the Celtics.
What about the Pistons with Rasheed Wallace and Chauncey Billups?
That was 2004.
Okay, that was a long time ago. How old?
Feels like yesterday, but yeah. Again, let's assume that, you know, yeah, that 2010 series was sort of a before and after for LeBron. And he said, like, I have to make my own super team, and I'm going to Miami. I'm gonna team up with my friends Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And then they went on to go to how many finals? I think one, two, three. I think four. Four straight finals, yeah. As the Heat.
Got what, two?
They won two of them.
Two of them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a better record than the Celtics team that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So did they break LeBron? I wouldn't go as far as to say that. Did they beat LeBron? Absolutely. I mean, the record shows it. Did they break him? I don't know. He makes it sound like he ended LeBron's career right there, and it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward if Kevin Garnett sees LeBron James in the street now. And being with Rondo now as part of the Lakers, you know, that must have been awkward for Rajon Rondo, saying like, oh man, don't get me in the middle of this. I'm playing next to the guy right here.
Well, he just want to keep, you know, getting paid. Rajon Rondo, at this point, I think he just want to make sure that he has a job for next season and keep getting these checks from the league, because really, I think he's about to retire already. How old is he? 36, 37?
I don't know, actually. Let's find out.
I felt like he would retire.
He's 33.
Like four seasons ago. Oh.
He's just too old, 2 years older than I am.
He's got a couple more years left, to be honest.
But what happened when he was playing for the Mavs, that he had that problem with the coach?
But he's sort of rehabbing his image.
Yeah.
Like, he's a jerk on the court, but it seems like he's sort of rehabbing his image with the Lakers. Like, the coaching staff has said that, you know, he's very cerebral, he's very smart, he's a good teammate. I feel like he knows now where he stands.
Exactly.
He's trying to do his best.
He had to manage his expectations and realize that he's not the superstar that he thought. At some point, maybe he thought he was a superstar.
Fair enough, yeah.
And that's why I think he had problems in Dallas. Because I think he could have done much, much better in Dallas.
So, back to the point. Did Kevin Garnett and the Celtics break LeBron? Yes or no?
I think I did get LeBron thinking that, you know, maybe I do need a super team as well. But to say he broke him, no, I don't think I can agree.
I think it helped LeBron start a new career. So now, after that, he became player, coach, and agent at the same time.
Was that a compliment?
Not
necessarily. Sounds like a backhanded compliment. You're not LeBron's biggest fan, right?
No. So he's playing all the different roles that he needs to play to make sure that he gets a ring, or at least he has a chance of getting a ring every single season.
Is that bad, though?
I don't think so, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like I cannot help but to feel like he has a bad guy vibe. You know what I mean?
I think the police is coming after you for saying that, for calling LeBron the bad guy.
Perfect timing. Look at that.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened, but there's something going on in the neighborhood.
Is there not sound effects? Yes. This is actually happening.
I think it's always like, I always felt like it's every team against LeBron. I don't mind who's going to get the ring, as long as it's not the team that LeBron is playing for.
Okay, let's move on before we start throwing gravy at each other from the turkey. All right, before we move on to our Christmas segment, let's touch very quick on what happened again this week. You know, leading up to what's going to be an amazing games for Christmas Day. But I think two of the biggest games that happened throughout the week was Lakers versus Bucks and Clippers versus Rockets. Very good barometer for all four teams on where they stand and what can we expect from them. The Lakers got almost whooped. They got whooped on the first half and then tried to come back. And the Clippers lost to the Rockets. So both LA teams who are still they're number one and number two in the Western Conference, they lost against some pretty good teams as well. But I wasn't as surprised that the Lakers lost to the Bucks, just because Giannis is playing out of his mind right now, and he was shooting threes from half court almost. But I was surprised that the Clippers lost to the Rockets. I didn't think that was going to happen, to be honest.
Why is that?
I honestly, because I thought that having Kawhi and Paul George during that game,
right,
they want to lock down on James Harden.
It's true.
And Westbrook is not having a good year as it is.
But he had a good game.
So I was just surprised that. Also, I mean, James Harden didn't get locked down.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a terrible game. And the Rockets won fairly comfortably. Like, yeah, it was a tight game. It wasn't as bad as the first half of the Lakers and Bucks, but the Rockets, I feel like they were in control of the situation. And this might also be one of those instances where, you know, Team A just knows how to beat Team B, even if they don't win the championship. They have the formula.
They did play each other not too long ago, I think. It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think the Clippers got that win.
Correct.
So maybe, and I think Russell had a really poor game. It was actually a really hard game to watch. There was a lot of whistles. But maybe it was in favor of Houston this time around, because there was less calls and they were just, it looked like they were just had more energy going up and down the court.
But here's the thing though, looking at these teams right now, who would you pick on a 7-game series? If the Bucks were playing against the Lakers and if the Clippers were playing against the Rockets, who do you think would be your pick in a 7-game series?
I'm gonna go ahead, I mean, trying to be as objective as I can, honestly, I would pick the Lakers against the Bucks. Because even after that horrible first half, the Lakers came back and they could have taken it. It was a matter of a couple of shots just going in. They were terrible from the free throw line. And just everyone had a horrible game. LeBron had a bad game. AD had a bad game. It's the end of almost the end of a 6-game road trip. Not to make excuses, the Bucks won fair and square, but I just don't think that happening I don't see those numbers happening 7 times in a row.
And do you think that it's a matchup that it's so close that home court advantage might make a big difference?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. I think Milwaukee and their fans, they know. By the way, I'm going to give kudos to the Milwaukee Fanatics, because they're from the fan bases, and I'm saying that as a member of one of the most annoying fan bases out there, they are very respectful. They are very respectful, and their Twitter game is strong. Kudos to them. But yes, I think it's a matter of, you know, if the Bucks say this is the final, Bucks Lakers, and if the Bucks have home court advantage, I would be very, very scared. I would still think the Lakers would take it as, you know, potentially to a game 7, but I would be very afraid of playing in Milwaukee right now.
And do you think that Clippers against the Rockets is a it's close as with the Lakers and the Bucks, or no, you think there's a bigger difference between both teams?
I would personally take the Clippers.
Yeah, I would pick the Clippers as
and
well.
And I wouldn't even dare to say like in five games.
That's the thing. I don't see the Rockets on a seven-game series. I don't see them winning more than one or two games against the Clippers, just because of how bad their defense is. And sometimes there's lack of effort. So I don't think that they're a team that will be able to beat a good team like the Clippers or the Lakers in a playoff series. I don't think so.
And the Clippers are just more defensive-minded. Their bench is way deeper. I think, yeah, they definitely have a better chance against these Rockets.
And that's why I was surprised, because, you know, I thought this was sort of like statement week, where all these teams were supposed to make a statement on where they stand or what can they improve on. And I thought this was the game that the Clippers would make a statement and say, you know, we are the team on the West and try to win by 20, 40 points, whatever. But it just didn't happen. But we'll see what happens in Christmas Day. It's going to be fun.
Yeah,
those are going to be really good games.
Celtics and Raps too. That should be a good one.
It's going to be, yeah. And you guys are going to be here potentially, and we might be hungover from eggnog and turkey and a bunch of stuff. So what better way to spend Christmas Day than watching basketball?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to our last segment, the Christmas segment of Dropping Dimes. Now, for this, each one of us chose three teams from the NBA. And because we're in this very giving mood, we decided to give something to these three teams, correct? So these are gifts that could be anything. We can give them new shoes, new uniforms, new players, a new coach, whatever it is, whatever it is. So let's go through the three teams that each one of us picked. We'll discuss them, and then let's see if as a group we can pick one or two more teams, and then let's see what we can give them. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Sounds all right. Good.
Raph, get us started.
So my first pick are the Trailblazers.
Order. Yeah.
So you guys know that I'm a Blazers fan.
Correct.
And it really hurts me to say this, but I think my gift would be books for the whole team. So for the team, I would give them a book called How to Break the Mediocrity Cycle.
Do you have an author?
No, I don't. I don't. Wait, I'll look for it later. And for the management...
Let's see what Amazon has.
Wait, for management, though, I would buy another book called How Does the NBA Draft Works? Because they clearly don't understand. So that's my gift idea for the Trailblazers.
That's really good. That was
very
thoughtful.
Thoughtful gift, man.
I think they would appreciate it. So there's embracing your inner mediocrity. I don't think you want that.
No. I don't want them to embrace it.
There's another one called Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. These are not very inspiring books.
Because above the level of mediocrity, that's like 52%. That's not enough.
Just above.
God, no, yeah. Whoever is writing these books...
Send the Blazers a copy. Oh my god.
We're on fire,
ambulance,
guys.
Too.
Yeah. All right.
Fire trucks. Holy crap.
Evs. Oh. Wow.
Whew, what a day.
What's happening?
We really need a studio.
We
really need a studio.
Eventually, yeah. I don't know. This is kind of exciting. Because I don't know if we should be concerned or if we should we evacuate.
I thought I heard a fire alarm, too.
That was a fire truck.
Yeah.
Oh, but it went away. It's fine. All right. Evs, what's your first gift?
My first gift is for the Orlando Magics.
Ooh.
I missed your guys' episode on the top jerseys or what jerseys you guys liked, and theirs was definitely one that was kind of disappointing, to be honest. I remember seeing, like, some orange appearing. Apparently it celebrates their region's, like, citrus industry, but the ORL on the jersey, I don't know, it looks... very similar to the Oregon Ducks font.
That's true,
know,
yeah.
They kind of looked lazy. So I feel like they could have gone with something a little more interesting. And so I give them a new jersey.
Do you have any concept in mind?
No real concept in mind. I just thought theirs was a bit bland. They didn't dive too deep into like more of their history of their team or other than the citrus industry. They could have just kept and did something that had something to do with Magic. Huh. but just not really feeling the orange and black.
And you're not getting paid to come up with a new concept. So if they want a new concept from you, hey, they need to pay you.
They should hit you up first.
Definitely.
And get a quote.
Yeah.
Treat your graphic designers right, people. All right. I'm going to start off with a mild one. And start off with the Lakers. I would give them the gift of a better defender and a consistent scorer. And that person is Andre Iguodala.
What?
Ooh. I would take Iggy out of Memphis, wrap him up, or just give him a bow and just present it to the Lakers organization. I don't think that Andre Iguodala is going to go to the Lakers because Memphis wants, I think, a first round draft pick, which the Lakers don't have one until, I think, 2085. And they're just asking for too much for poor Iguodala. He's not even playing. They said that they're not going to buy him out. And I don't think there's any... there might be another mediocre team out there that might have the assets, but they won't really benefit from having Iggy. But I think the Lakers would really benefit from having someone that is defensive-minded like Iguodala, experienced. And he's somewhat of a consistent scorer. If not, he can be a good facilitator.
Can't you find a younger version of Iguodala, though? Because he's like... he's
like, I don't, everyone else is... I think if I would find someone younger, it might be, I mean, I'm going to the extreme, but like Kawhi or Paul George, right? And I'm not going to take them out of the Clippers. It wouldn't be fun.
I'm not sure if he would do well with the Lakers.
I think he would be a good presence in the locker room as well. Like I think he would be a good mentor for Avery Bradley and even for Kyle Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
So like, hey guys, you know, Avery Bradley, embrace your defensive role.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not the best scorer out there. Iguodala wasn't the best scorer out there either, but
he knew
where to stand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was usually left alone and he would drain those shots, right? Yeah. I mean, he won the Warriors a game during the finals, basically. And he shut down LeBron a couple of times. So he knows what he's playing with. So, yeah, that's my gift to the Lakers.
Don't Andre forget Iguodala. About Dre.
Not a very good three-pointer shooter, though.
But, you know, in the right circumstance. Shots,
yeah, here and there.
And that's why I feel so for Kuzma, he would be a really good mentor. It was like, hey, you know, just, you have the shot, take it.
Yeah, knowing where to be. And, stuff.
And just, I think that Iguodala would bring that fire that sometimes the bench is missing.
Mm. Championship pedigree.
So. Yeah. All right. Next team, Rafael.
I'm going to go with the Warriors. And my Christmas gift for the Warriors, I actually already booked an appointment for Klay Thompson and staff with a doctor in Brazil.
Okay.
For them to get a second opinion.
Okay.
To see how far they are from coming back. Because clearly, before they come, I mean, if they don't come back, the Warriors will keep on struggling and struggling and struggling. It was amazing to see that they are like 6-24, I think. What's the record right now?
It is.
6-24.
The worst of the West.
Like they went from top 2 to bottom of the conference.
It's pretty much, yeah. But it's not their fault, right? I mean, they don't have anyone other than D'Angelo who came back recently to the lineup.
But you remember when they first started this run with the Splash Brothers and so on? Their motto used to be strength in numbers, right?
Right.
I mean, I think it's clear now that as they started to bring new players and they wanted to bring KD and so on,
mm-hmm.
they had to give up a lot of their supporting cast and they were left only with the three superstars and Draymond Green. And I mean, now you see that if these guys are not playing, they're really, really screwed because they don't have enough players to give them at least a decent season. Like again, they are far from mediocrity right now.
But I agree 100%. But you know what's scary, or to at least to me, it's a scary thought that next year, Klay and Stephen are coming back. They're gonna be rested, and if things continue as they are right now, they're gonna get a good draft pick.
Yeah,
and they might get someone like a really good prospect, or they might use that to maybe trade for someone else. It is rumored that they're gonna make a run at Giannis, so It's scary. I don't think we can write off the Warriors for the next, at least until we see what happens next year. This year, yeah. Is there a sabbatical?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't consider them, you know, bottom of the league team until next year and see what happens.
But I wouldn't like to see them try to bring another big name and build another big three or whatever, like another super team. I would rather see them draft someone good and that player becomes part of what they have.
Like a new franchise player almost.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, Evs, next team.
Next team, I have a gift for the Knicks.
Oh.
Knicks, you know, no surprise there. They need a lot. Second worst record in the league, I think.
They need a lot of help.
They could use the same books that I want to give to the Trailblazers.
Yeah, they should share those books. Maybe get it on Audible club or something. Yeah, the team has no end in sight. James Dolan, I mean, he's got to go. Owner's horrible. I think I'd give him... I mean, they need a new coach with the recent firing of Fizdale, so maybe Mark Jackson or Patrick Ewing, even maybe, since he was one of the greatest Knicks of all time. They need someone like a coach where the, you know, the fans believe in and can rally behind, I feel like. And I think Mark Jackson would be a pretty good candidate.
I think they need a therapy session as a gift. Ooh. They need to go to a counselor. They need to let it all out, all the players, all the staff. And start from scratch.
Yeah.
Maybe some essential oils.
Go to a spa.
We have a contact for essential oils, so we can help with that.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend that sells essential oils.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think Mark Jackson might be a good idea because that would give him an opportunity to stop trying to take credit for what happened in
he can with start the from Warriors. Scratch, yeah.
Like, prove it. Prove it that you can do it because, I mean, we've been listening to you taking credit for what happened with the Warriors after you left for like 5 years.
He was part of the story, I agree, but yeah, it's
a bit much.
The stage is set, Mark Jackson, so just take it.
Take it, man.
Hand down.
Either gift.
Man down.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, the Knicks need I think their list for Santa must be pretty long.
Pretty long.
They're just going to get coal.
Yeah.
All right. I picked the Mavs next, and I have two gifts for them because I like them. I think they've been behaving pretty good. They've been nice. They're on my good list. Nice. So I have two gifts for them. Number one is Kevin Love.
Ooh.
As an addition to the current team, I think Love. I don't think Love. It's clear that he wants to get out of Cleveland, and he would be a good fit because he would take pressure away from Porzingis.
Yeah.
And just I can just imagine, you know, Love getting the rebound, passing it off to Luka. Kristaps is on the run. I mean, that's like, it feels like a Miami big three, almost, but a little bit more veteran because Kevin Love is a little bit older. But Porzingis and Luka are super young, so it would be really fun to see them playing. It would be fun to see them in the same uniform.
Look at you sharing the love during the holiday season.
No, hey. That's not all. I would also, and I would give them Evans's contact for new uniforms because they're seed edition uniforms. Yeah. I still don't like them. I think one of the ugliest ones. I don't know what they were
graffiti.
Going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like graffiti and
graffiti
and a gradient.
Oh.
And I just don't know what they want.
As you guys know, I'm not as
annoyed.
Bad
taste, yeah?
as annoyed by that uniform as you are. Yeah. But I think you mentioned Evans when you're talking about Orlando, you mentioned that, it looked like there was some lack of creativity. I don't remember exactly what you said. Maybe it's
lazy,
too simple, lazy.
Yeah,
I think that was the word.
Yeah.
And I have that. I feel like that with a lot of the City Edition jerseys from this year. There are a lot of
check out our episode on the City Edition jerseys.
Yeah, a lot of the City Edition jerseys this year. I feel like they were just put together like last minute.
Yeah.
All right, last round. Raf, get us started.
I picked the Jazz. And
okay.
I just want to give them Carmelo Anthony.
What?
Just take Carmelo Anthony, please. Take him. If we can work out a trade and you give us Donovan Mitchell, I would be very, very happy.
Right,
very, very happy.
Oh, my God.
Donovan, CJ, and Damian.
We said Christmas presents, not Christmas miracles.
No, but yes, I mean, just take Donovan Mitchell. I don't know. Give us a Joe Ingles, whatever. Like
Ingles.
Someone. Yeah.
Ingles. Ingle bells.
Hey.
Yeah.
Or even Mike Conley, that would be
He just got there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not doing good at all. You know, can I also give the Jazz something?
Yeah.
A hug. They need a hug.
No, but they're still where making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I think fifth seed or...
The Jazz? Four,
yeah.
They're up there?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, hold on. They're not doing
I was
that
looking
well.
At the standings today.
Oh, yeah, they're number six.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So still, the Mavs, I think, are fourth or fifth?
I think I just want to give Mike Conley a hug. Because he left Memphis after I don't know how many seasons. And they were primed to be a contender team. And they're not doing as well. They've had some pretty bad losses. So, and Mike Conley's not having a good year. So I think I want to just give Mike Conley a hug.
But I think as long as they make the playoffs, it's not going to be like a complete failure.
I don't know.
It's a team like the Trail Blazers. You don't really expect them to go far.
To go far. And,
yeah.
And somehow they do.
All right. Fs, last team.
Final one would be the Rockets.
Okay.
I would actually give them a new mascot.
A new mascot?
Their new mascot.
You don't like Clutch the Bear?
Clutch the Bear. I mean, sure, the name works. You know, Clutch City. But I don't know. They seem to have missed the mark here. Like, why go with like a moderately cute bear when they could have gone with like an alien or an astronaut, something like that, something space related.
I guess it would make more sense.
You have Russell Westbrook and James Harden as part of your team, and you have a bear as a mascot. It doesn't really like.
I like Clutch. Clutch is one of the most entertaining mascots. But yeah, I guess when you think about it, it's the Houston Rockets. And they have a bear as a mascot. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I get it. Like, they, you know, they want to appeal to kids and the family, but they could have chose something.
It could be a Cocker Spaniel. Because I think when they first sent animals...
How?
Wait. I have an explanation for
this.
Before they sent humans to the moon, they tried first with animals. Remember that? And they did it first with a dog, and the dog was a Cocker Spaniel. So it could be a Cocker Spaniel.
Rocket.
The only thing is that the dogs died when they got to the moon, so I don't know.
Well,
that's a bit of a sad story, I think.
Commemorate them, you know.
Clutch the Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
That was a clutch answer.
That was very clutch, Rafael. Good job.
Thank you.
That was good.
All right, are you guys ready for mine,
your
my last one?
Gift.
I picked the Miami Heat. And you know what I want to give them?
Another Dion Waiters.
No, but I want to give them something. I feel like there's been a lot of drama with the Heat. You know, they have Jimmy Butler. He's an explosive personality.
That's half the drama.
That's half the drama already. And there's more to come, I feel, with Jimmy Butler in your team.
Yep.
They're dealing with all the Dion Waiters drama.
Yep.
They're trying to get rid of him. They can't. They want to buy him out. He won't take less money. Understandably so.
Yeah.
So my gift to the Miami Heat is just an entire package of CBD oil that they can all use.
To relax
and not have a bad trip. Just,
nice.
Guys, relax. It's the holidays.
Oh, man.
Embrace each other. Bring Dion back.
You guys have one of the best jerseys too. Come on.
You guys have a fantastic jersey. You guys have a very entertaining team right now. Just chill, man.
Yeah.
Take some CBD oil.
Go hit the beaches.
I've never taken CBD oil, so I don't know
so
what
again,
it feels like.
Sponsors.
But I'm sure, you know, talk to Ice Cube, the Big Three, sponsored by a CBD oil company.
Yeah.
He'll hook you up, man.
Shout out.
Yeah. Big shout out.
I just want to go back to what I just mentioned about dogs in space. I think it's not a good idea for the Rockets because I was reading here. And indeed, we did send dogs to space before humans, but
yes,
that was done by the Soviet Union, not by NASA.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure if that's a good idea. I think there's a bit of a rivalry between them. So I don't know. But I was right about the fact that the dog died. So the first dog was Laika.
Yay.
But it was not a Cocker Spaniel. It was a stray dog that was took from the streets of Moscow and selected to be the occupant of the Soviet spacecraft Sputnik 2. Laika died within hours from overheating.
Oh man, is that how you want to end the Christmas episode?
Grinch.
Wow.
Maybe the reference you made earlier worked.
I think we reversed.
I think we reversed it.
Well, the Brazilian who stole Christmas.
So I just...
Stop.
Of course,
I Google
search, right? But there's another question saying how many dogs died in space? And apparently there's an organization called Animals in Space. According to them, the Soviet Union launched 71 dogs into space between 1951 and 1966 within 17 deaths.
Oh, there you wow. go. I'm so glad I picked Clutch the Bear.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Let's make him an astronaut. I don't know.
Oh, man.
An alien. Yikes. That was a very tough note to end this episode with, man. All right. Can we all pick another team as a collective and give them something?
Let me think of one. I did have the Warriors as well earlier, as mentioned. Like, you know, having been on the NBA's mountaintop and then now being the worst team in the league. I don't know what else to give them. I'd give them some luck, maybe. Some health.
What about New Orleans?
I was going to say, can we pick the Pelicans?
Ooh, right.
What do we want to give them? They've had a rough year. I'll give
them LaMelo Ball so that they can have the Ball brothers together. Nice.
Actually, that's a really good idea.
Bros, yeah.
Let's get them LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I mean, I also want to mention that Lonzo is such a huge disappointment.
I mean, I feel bad for him.
He's averaging 10 points, 5 assists, and I don't know.
Would he be a different player if he had Zion?
I'm not sure.
No, we'll never know.
I don't know if it's one of those situations where one player elevates the other. Which, I mean, with Zion, he would elevate a lot of people. But
for sure.
But LaMelo is averaging 17 points in Australia. How is that going to translate? He's averaging almost a triple-double.
Yeah.
17 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds per game.
Right.
How is that going to translate to the NBA when he leaves the Australian Basketball League? Is that what it's called? Australian Basketball League?
The ABL? NBL, National Basketball League.
National Basketball League. And then go to the NBA. How is that going to translate?
I guess you could have made the same argument about Luka, right? But, I mean, my point is he's playing with grown-ups, with guys that are veterans, pros, that know the game. There are other American players there as well. So I think that's he did the right thing there. So he might not average a triple-double, but I think LaMelo is, at this point, better than Lonzo.
He's going to be more relevant when he joins the league?
Maybe.
You think he's going
to
be more
relevant? And he's going to have a lot more reps, you know, as to how professional basketball is played. Mm-hmm. He's going to have he doesn't have such a bad shooting mechanic as Lonzo. So I don't know. He seems more aggressive on the offensive end than Lonzo.
And he's not going to have to wear horrible shoes for the first season.
I don't know. I don't know if he's still with... Oh, let's give them all
BBB. Let's give big them some baller brands
to the Pelicans.
I was listening to a Lonzo Ball interview the other day, and he said that he needed to wear different pair of shoes for every quarter. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the shoes kept
they
on...
were that bad.
Yeah, because they were so bad that they would explode after one quarter.
They would explode. Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I just want to mention Zach LaVine. I wanted to give him some kudos because he's having an amazing season.
Really?
He's playing... yesterday, he scored like 37 points against the Pistons.
With a loss?
Against the Pistons.
Was it a loss?
I'm not sure. But, I mean, he's entertaining to watch. He had a couple of bad injuries and still he's a very explosive player. I can only imagine without the injuries... How would he be playing? He's shooting better. He's a more complete player now.
Nice.
I think he could be a good candidate. Also. I mean, he's early in the season, but most improved player.
No, Bam Adebayo. He's going to win that. But let's wait until we give our awards show and
mid-season awards?
Mid-season and end-of-season awards. Well, I think that's it, guys, for Christmas special. So from our very small family to yours, happy holidays. May all your dreams come true. May you have very nice designed jerseys. May your shoes not explode when you wear them on the courts. And may you have some CBD oil to deal with your teammates. I don't know. That might be good. But do us a favor. And instead of sending us presents...
What? What are you... Instead of sending us presents,
why don't you rate us 5 stars and leave a review?
Can you do both, please?
that would be our
present.
Yeah, that's the only thing we request for. Just take 5 minutes of your time. Go to your favorite app. If that's Apple Podcasts, that's even better. Rate us 5 stars and leave us a review. Tell us what you like about the show, what you want us to talk about. Because if you don't, then you're going to get a lump of coal for Christmas and you don't want that. All right. Make sure that you're following us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, Twitter at dropping_dimes1, Facebook.com/dropping.dimes1. Twitter, already mentioned Twitter, our website, www.dropping-dimes.com, our email, contact@dropping-dimes.com. Happy holidays, everyone. It's lots of turkey, and this is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out. Peace. Ho, ho, ho.